Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Reflections that I see makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter of the clay.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Over the last few programs, I have been preaching on the assurance of salvation. And a person needs to understand that the Lord God wants to give him that assurance. But a person needs to seek it. He needs to get into the Word of God. He needs to seek it out for himself. For regardless how you listen to somebody else telling you how he knows that he's going to heaven, it will not help you until you dig into Scripture for yourself. And then the Holy Spirit, once you become determined about the situation, then the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and will settle it into your heart. And then nobody can take it away from you, regardless what they try. Because once God gives you something, it is there for keeps. Nobody can reverse the situation. When we look at the situation today in what many churches teach that claim the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as the one that they are serving, we can see confusion because people will teach, yes, if you keep on with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you try your best, then in the end, the Lord will accept you as long as you keep on that path. Well, that's what religion taught me before I was a Christian. There was no real security. But once I came to know the Lord, that problem was taken care of. The Lord settled it into my heart that I am now His for keeps. And that brought me joy as I grew older. Not that I believe it more than I did when I first got the revelation, but as you grow older, you see the confusion around you, and you look at your fortunate situation that you're in, the unbelievable peace that is within a person's heart who knows that his name is written in heaven. And as we get closer to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, that joy increases as you see the world situation slowly but surely deteriorating to the point where the Lord is going to come and take His children unto Himself. Yes, we are seeing these things, and we cannot deny them. And that's what brings joy to a person's heart who knows that he will soon go to meet his Savior. And today I will teach on what the Bible teaches on how a person should react once he has become a child of the kingdom of God. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open the understanding of the people who are listening today. You will bring revelation to their hearts so that they can rejoice that their name is written in heaven. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace of God, and I ask you to bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, there is a very familiar story about the prodigal son, and I believe most Christians know about it. When the prodigal son came to his father and asked him for his portion of his inheritance, and then he went, and he went from his father's house into a different country and squandered everything. And then a famine came into that land where he was, and the person that son had absolutely nothing to eat. And then he came to his senses, the Bible teaches us, and he said, I will go back to my father where there is plenty to eat. And I will read you a few of those scriptures on what happened and will explain to you what God expects from us by reading and studying this story. It tells us in Luke chapter 15, verse 18, the son says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So here is a record of what happened to the prodigal son. He had to come back. He had to come to the father and admit that he was totally helpless. And many, many Christians understand that. They see their helplessness. They see their sinfulness. And they come to the foot of the cross. And they cry out to God and ask him to forgive them. Many, all Christians recognize that. They see that this is what God has shown them in their heart, their sinfulness, their total helplessness. And then they accept the Lord as Savior, just like the prodigal son came to the Father and accepted the Father's help. But something happened that many Christians don't seem to understand or don't seem to recognize. Something happened to the prodigal son when he came with these, with that humble heart to the father. The father turned the whole situation around. He said, "You were lost, but now you're found." And the father gave him his ring, and he put on his best robe. And when you study, when Bible scholars study these things, in those days, the best robes were made of purple, which described royalty. And the ring that was given to him was a sign of authority. Just like today, somebody getting his father's MasterCard, he now has the authority to go and buy stuff on his father's name. And this is what the Lord God wants us to recognize. He wants us to recognize that now we have been changed. We have been converted into something far different. Because we were once lost, but now are found, but now belong to God. The Lord God wants us to be joyful. The Bible teaches us that the sign of a true Christian is joy. Joy unspeakable, the Bible calls it. And this is what many Christians seem to lack. They forget the fact that God has raised them up and made them part of the kingdom of God. They're still in that state of, "I am not worthy." Yes, we were not worthy, but now God has made us worthy, and we need to accept that. It's like here on earth, when a father is ready to pass on, and he gives all that he has to his children, what would the father think if the child would say, "I am not worthy of what you're giving me. I'll get by myself. I'll earn my own keep." See, that's going back into the situation you were before you became a Christian. You receive salvation by faith. It is a gift from God. But everything else, the joy, the peace, the power that God wants to give to you is there also. The gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give to his bride are unbelievable. His power, he tells us, "Greater works will you do than I did, because I will go to the Father." But many Christians seem to believe that was only for the apostles. And even when it comes to assurance of salvation, they seem to think that that is too good to be true. Well, if you're not going to accept the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you as his bride, at least seek the gift of assurance of salvation, so that you can have joy and peace in your heart. For it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have become a total new creature, something totally different. In verse 21, it tells us, "For he has made him to be sin for us." Who is that him? "For he has made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We become righteous. We become holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's through him that we become pure and perfect and holy and are accepted by God. So how can you not accept that as fact when Scripture teaches us that we are a purchased possession? We are seated in heavenly places. The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, that the reason for our joy is that our names are written in heaven. How can you not accept that as fact when Scripture so clearly teaches that a man can know that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And once it's there, there is no reversing the situation. The Bible teaches us that once we become his children, we are made priests and kings unto him. That's a matter of fact. It's not some wishy-washy thing that I'm preaching here. The Bible declares it, and that makes it a fact. So how can you not rejoice in your situation? Turn to this awesome God for revelation today and get to know the peace that passes all understanding. For this is given to everyone who has called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. No one is left out. You receive that robe and you receive that ring instantly the minute you call upon God in a humble spirit and ask him for forgiveness. So don't reject the joy and the peace that God is offering to you. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 that there is a place of rest for the people of God. Seek it before you fall into unbelief and confusion. And this is why so many people who are Christians end up in mental institutions. They do not know where they stand with God. They neglected to seek the joy that passes all understanding. It is available for everyone. As we get closer to the end, the confusion will mount and we will see turmoil all around us. So I urge you to seek out that awesome gift that God wants to give to you. And for those of you who are not born again by the Spirit of God, we don't have much time left. Jesus is about to come back. The other day I watched a movie called The Left Behind, and you could see the confusion on the people's faces. I don't know whether it'll exactly happen like that, but I tell you, it gave me a peace in my heart that these things, which are sure to come, are not going to affect me, because I have made my peace with God. And the Bible teaches us, those that look for his appearing, to them will he return the second time without sin unto salvation, and will take them unto himself. That's an awesome promise that is not far into the future. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
Do I lie? Soft my fear is
zeige selbst mir deine Wege, deine Wahrheit, schmale Stege. Steh mit Kraft mir bei, dir zu wandeln drein. Weil du kommen bist, was verloren ist, wiederum zurückzuführen und kein Schäflein zu verlieren. Darum pfleg dein Knecht, führe mich zurecht. Gute Dreier hält, wenn ich bin verirrt, ein verlorenes Schaf werde, führe mich zu deiner Herde, führe mich dahin, wo ich bei dir bin. Sollst zum Sterben gehen, wollst du bei mir stehen, mich durch Todestal geleiten und zur Herrlichkeit bereiten, dass ich nicht mag sehen, ein zu Rechten stehen. Dass ich nicht mag sehen, ein zu Rechten stehen.
When one looks on the world scene today, you can see the confusion mounting in the governments of the world. In the next few weeks, the governments of the world will be getting together to decide on a one world government under the disguise of the subject global warming. We have been hearing of that subject on the news and it is coming to the point where you're getting sick of it already. Everybody's talking about global warming. I don't know why we cannot feel the effects here in Manitoba, but let me tell you, that's what everybody is preaching today, global warming. Well, years ago, I was listening to a radio talk show, and they were discussing global cooling. They were claiming that the pollution of this planet was blocking out the sun, and if we don't do something about it, then this world will cool down so that we cannot grow crops. And one guy got up and asked the question, how do you know that pollution is not causing the reverse effect? How do you know it's not causing global warming? And guess what? Today, everybody claims that this pollution is causing global warming. Well, the governments of this world are taking advantage of that to create a one world government by getting all the governments of the planet to come under this one domain where they all have to comply to the rules that are made. And as scripture describes, this is going to happen. There is going to arise a leader that will rule the world. And all the world system seems to be applauding that fact that we will have a one world government ruled by one person. When we study this in scripture, we can clearly see that these things will come to pass. So this is the handwriting on the wall that God is giving to every Christian. Look out upon the world scene. Look into the Middle East. Look at the state of Israel. Look at the world governments. What is happening? Everything's falling in line, just like the Bible predicted. This is our timepiece. This is the sign that God wants to give his children of his soon return. And we, the Christians, should take advantage of that fact and start to preach the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many churches today don't even want to get into that subject. I have been called to different churches to preach on that subject because the preachers don't know too much about it. They've never studied the situation and the subject. And those of them who do sometimes take a stab of it don't even know what they're talking about. So we, the Christians, need to study the Word and listen to those who have been studying these things for years and start bringing it to the people, because we are at the door of Christ's return. The one world government situation that you're hearing talked about so plainly today and so openly on the news today was something that you just heard talk about in whispers. You couldn't believe it when you heard it on the news. But today it's an everyday news report. One world government, one world system. Everybody's crying it. Everybody's shouting it. The pestilences that are now on the planet that we've seen in the last 10 years arising are unbelievable. People are getting scared. Their hearts are failing them for fear. You see them line up for blocks and blocks to get the H1N1 flu shot. Why are these pestilences appearing? This is what the Word of God predicted, and it's going to get worse. So we, the children of God, need to take advantage of the situation and preach the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone that will listen. So open your heart to that fact. Receive the revelation that Jesus is about to come back. Turn to him for direction, and the Lord will make you a blessing to many. Amen.
With his hand, oh, he touched me with a love like I've never known. He gave life a brand new meaning, and to me
Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.